welcome. We've got a really fascinating collection of research you shared focusing on the Kurdish Shahnameh. It's an epic tradition maybe not everyone knows about.
That's right. And we've looked through the articles, the reports, manuscript details, quite a lot to unpack here.
Our mission today, then, is to give everyone a clear understanding of this tradition. You know, its unique features, why it matters for Kurdish culture, and even how it fits into the wider world of epics.
Absolutely. We have a good mix of sources, encyclopedic entries, academic work, descriptions. It's a rich foundation.
So let's start right there. What is the Kurdish Shahnameh, basically? Scholarly definitions.
Well, it's described as this collection of epic heroic narratives. Sometimes you'll see it called a Razamnama, Book of Battles, or Jangnama, Book of Wars.
Okay, Razamnama, Jangnama. And a key thing right off the bat from the sources is that historically it was mainly oral.
Yes, precisely. Passed down mouth to mouth, as they say, long before parts got written down, which is, you know, a really major difference from the Persian Shahnameh by Ferdowsi.
All right, Ferdowsi's has that long manuscript history.
Yeah.
So this is fundamentally different in its transmission.
Definitely. That orality shaped everything about it.
So what else makes it distinct? The research points to several things. First up, language.
Language is huge. It's predominantly in the Guarani literary language. That includes dialects like Harami, which was important, especially under the Ardalan dynasty.
Guarani, okay. And that's culturally Kurdish, but linguistically distinct from, say, Sarani or Kurmanji.
Exactly. Think maybe like the difference between Old English and Modern English related, but not immediately understandable. And sometimes people prefer the term Harami over Guarani, you know, the speakers themselves.
Got it. And second distinction, the poetry itself.
The meter, yeah.
Yeah.
It uses the syllabic meter, typically 10 syllables per line.
10 syllables, which is unlike the Persian Shahnameh's quantitative meter.
Completely different structure, yes. Ferdowsi uses the Mutakari meter, the Kurdish 10-syllable line, often with a break, a sisura inside it. It's really characteristic of Kurdish folk poetry.
So language, meter. What about the stories? There are connections to the Persian Shahnameh, right? Shared heroes like Rustam.
There are connections, definitely. Shared themes, figures like Rustam, absolutely. But the Kurdish tradition really has its own identity. Unique characters, different variations on the stories. It's not just a copy.
And the history seems complex, too. Almas Khan Kandule, 18th century, often credited with collecting it.
He is a key figure, yes. Sarhang Almas Khan Kandule. But scholars are clear it's more involved than that. Multiple writers probably collecting and shaping things over time.
So less like a single author, more like a tradition being compiled.
Exactly. More like a collector, a transcriber of pre-existing oral material, maybe shaping it too, but not the sole originator like Ferdowsi. The whole scope of this oral cycle, so tied to Kurdish heritage, that's what we need to explore.
Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Raj Bosch, Hannah. Let's take a quick pause for some chai.
Ah, perfect timing.
Okay, picking back up after that lovely chai. We were talking about the linguistic side. Guarani.
Right, Guarani. And worth stressing again, culturally Kurdish, but linguistically distinct from the major modern dialects like Sarani and Kurmanji.
Which explains why its literary fortunes were kind of tied to specific historical periods and patrons, like the Ardalans.
Precisely. When Ardalan patronage declined, Guarani literature sort of receded as Sarani gained prominence.
Mm-hmm. And the term Harami sometimes preferred, you mentioned.
Yes, by some speakers and scholars. It's good to be aware of both terms.
And the meter, that 10-syllable line, often with a break. Very different from Ferdowsi.
Very different. Deeply rooted in Kurdish oral poetic forms.
Now, this relationship with Ferdowsi's Shahnameh, it seems like a core debate.
It really is. The sources show different perspectives. Some argue the Kurdish tradition is largely independent.
Independent.
Yeah.
Meaning it drew on older shared roots, perhaps.
Exactly. Pointing to features it shares with other parts of the Iranian epic world, like the Sistani cycle, which suggests common sources, maybe Sasanian era stuff, that both traditions tapped into.
The Sistani cycle. Another collection of Iranian tales,
yeah.
Right? Focused on Sistan.
Yes. So the idea is maybe the Kurdish Shahnameh isn't just reacting to Ferdowsi, but comes from this broader pool of ancient Iranian myths and legends, like parallel streams.
Okay, so that's one view. What's the other?
Others see many of the recorded oral versions, particularly as adaptations of Ferdowsi, maybe embellished with local folklore, local details.
So taking Ferdowsi as a base, but making it their own.
Sort of, yes. It's likely a mix, you know. The truth is probably complex. But heroes like Rustam appearing in both, definitely points to those shared older roots. Sasanian times, possibly.
So not a simple derived from situation?
No, much more nuanced, like branches from a common trunk, maybe, each growing differently.
And despite the links, the differences are significant. We said language, meter.
But also unique characters, different spins on the narratives.
Right. The sources mention Almaz Khan's version of the Siavash story. Supposedly has more detail, more clarity than Ferdowsi's.
That's what some analyses suggest. It shows active reimagining, not just passive repetition. Storytellers adding their own emphasis, their own cultural lens.
And even the portrayal of love. More definite and more fearless in Almaz Khan's work, one source said.
Yeah, which gives you a sense of maybe different cultural values or focuses shaping storytelling there.
It really underscores that this tradition was alive, adaptable.
Absolutely. And the fact it was primarily oral is key to that adaptability. The Kurdish collection is attributed to many writers, not one big name.
Which points to a more community-driven process, doesn't it?
I think so. More fluid, more open to regional influences.
Like the cross-pollination with Armenian epic traditions you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. That kind of exchange happens more easily in an oral environment, perhaps. Without a single official written text, the relationship between the epic and the community could be more dynamic, more decentralized.
Okay, so if it's mostly oral, what about actual texts? Is there defined corpus?
It's a bit different than for a written tradition. But yes, certain texts are identified. Like the Siavashnameh and Rostamnameh, both linked to Almaz Khan Kandule.
So he's central to the written record we do have.
Very much so. He's credited with other Gorani epics too, like Heftlesker. And then you have those general titles, Razmnameh and Jangnameh, covering the whole genre.
Book of Battles, Book of Wars. Captures the feel, definitely.
Right. But manuscript evidence, it's limited, especially compared to the thousands of Persian Shahnameh manuscripts.
Very limited. We know of one from the Legacy Committee of Vision. Sounds intriguing, but not much detail.
No, not in the sources we looked at. And the British Library has some early 19th century Gorani manuscripts. Interestingly, they include translations of other Persian romances into Gorani.
So Gorani was being used for literary purposes, engaging with Persian literature, but maybe not documenting its own Shahnameh extensively in writing back then.
Things that way. The scarcity of manuscripts for the Kurdish Shahnameh itself really drives home that oral point. The history is more in performance and memory than on parchment.
So the real heart is the oral tradition, the folkloric versions. And instead of the Persian Nakhwali or Shahnamazani performance styles,
you have the Kurdish Dengbizi tradition performed by the Dengbej.
The Dengbej. Revered folk singers, storytellers. They were the key.
Absolutely central. They were the living libraries, preservers of history, genealogy, culture, epic. Everything, especially when written forms were less accessible or suppressed.
And the Rustem cycle, the sources say, was hugely popular orally among both Kurds and Armenians.
Yes, that cross-cultural resonance of Rustem is fascinating. And these oral versions, they weren't static. They were dynamic, improvised, full of local color. You can see that cultural exchange happening.
And they might even preserve older bits of language or story, things lost in written versions.
That's a really important possibility scholars consider. Oral traditions' flexibility can sometimes keep archaic elements alive.
So the lack of old manuscripts really just emphasizes this lived-in performance, in memory. Transcriptions came later, were maybe more sporadic.
Exactly. It makes studying it fascinating, relying on linguistic work, studying the living tradition where possible.
Let's dig into that historical context more. We mentioned the connection to Gorani literature flourishing. When was that? 15th to 19th centuries?
Roughly, yes. And crucially, with the support of the Ardalan dynasty.
They were patrons. Their capital, Sanandaj, became a literary hub.
It really did. A center for Gorani literature and culture. But then, when the Ardalans fell, Gorani's literary status declined as Sarani rose.
Shows how politics and culture are intertwined.
Absolutely. Patronage, political power, they directly impact which languages and literary forms flourish.
Another fascinating connection mentioned is with the Al-e-Hak, or Yarsan, community.
Yes, Gorani is their sacred language. Their religious texts are in Gorani.
So the language itself had this religious significance. Did that influence the epics?
Scholars think so. They suggest links between the worldview and some Gorani epics and Yarsan beliefs. Maybe shared sources or just influence during the long oral development.
And didn't you say there were Yarsan texts linked to Almaz Khan himself?
The sources hint at that, yes. Which could suggest a direct connection or overlap in the cultural milieu he was working in. It's an intriguing area.
So, transmission. Primarily oral performance.
The Dengbej.
The Dengbej. Keepers of memory. Their performances, often unaccompanied, allowed for improvisation, adaptation.
Crucial for preserving culture, especially when written Kurdish faced challenges. Where did they perform?
Various social settings, evening gatherings, dirans, special occasions. They were vital community figures.
And the shift to writing was late, gradual. People like Almas Khan collecting, transcribing.
Right. But even the earliest written Kurdish poetry we have shows established forms, suggesting a long prior development, likely oral. So writing came, but orality remained dominant for centuries.
It's a clear picture. Political support from the Ardalans, religious importance via Ali Haq, the specific linguistic choice of Guarani, all shaping this tradition.
It's a great case study of how those factors interact. Okay, let's talk cultural significance. How important is the Kurdish Shahnameh within Kurdish culture?
It's considered a major part of classical Kurdish literature, especially within that Guarani tradition. Since poetry was the main written form for so long, these epics are vital sources.
Vital for understanding history, society, culture.
Yeah.
Giving insights through narrative.
Exactly. They reflect historical memory, social structures, cultural values. They played a role in shaping how Kurds saw their past, existing alongside the Persian Shahnameh, but offering their own perspectives.
And reinforcing identity.
Definitely. In the absence of a state, these shared stories, performed and passed down, were powerful tools for fostering a sense of collective identity and belonging.
The Dingbej tradition specifically gets called out for preserving identity, especially during cultural suppression.
Yes, they literally kept the language and the stories alive. Even into the 19th century, poets were invoking epic heroes from these traditions to inspire Kurdish pride.
So how does it fit into the wider Iranian epic world? We know it shares roots.
It shares themes, heroes like Rustam, pointing to that ancient common heritage. But its independent path, unique language, meter, narratives, marks it as a parallel tradition.
Not just a copy or derivative.
No. And the connections to the Sistani cycle reinforce that idea of shared but separate streams of Iranian epic heritage. It's part of the family, but distinct.
And compared to world epics, any parallels drawn?
Yes, scholars make comparisons. In terms of identity formation, maybe like the German Nibelungenlied or Homer's Iliad.
Wow, okay. And the structure?
The episodic nature has been compared to European chansons de geste, those medieval songs of deeds. Even educational themes within the stories have been compared to parts of the Iliad.
So it participates in that global phenomenon of epic storytelling.
Absolutely. Which underscores its significance beyond just the Kurdish or Iranian context.
Ultimately, its history seems to highlight how powerful epics can be for cultural resilience, especially for stateless nations.
That's a key takeaway. The Dengbej as living archives maintaining language and culture. The epics themselves fostering collective memory, reinforcing identity.
And the modern interest in Dengbej is tied to preserving Kurdish culture today.
Yes, there's a recognition of their vital role past and present.
We've mentioned some names. Let's recap the key figures. Poets, authors, mostly Guarani. Almas Khan Kandule is central.
Definitely. Credited with Siavashnama, potentially Heft Lesker, a major figure in the written part of the tradition.
Others mentioned were Kanakabadi, Mili Perishan, Mustafa Besarani,
Malawi Tawagozi, Mustira Ardalan, Yusuf Yaska, Mulla Bolad Khan. It shows a real literary scene in Guarani.
And the performers, the Dengbej.
Crucial. The sources don't always link specific famous Dengbej exclusively to performing only the Shahnameh cycle. They performed vast repertoires. But figures like Sekiro, Kazo, Hussein Fer are legendary within the tradition.
And contemporary singers, too. Shahram Nazari has performed verses.
Yes, showing the continuing relevance. But the Dengbej as a collective are the true voice of the oral epic.
Then there are the scholars, the collectors who help us understand it now. Beruz Chaman Ara.
A leading contemporary researcher, yes. His work's been very important.
And others like Philip Cranbrook, Victoria Arakaleva, earlier figures like Bayezidli, Jabba.
Yes, and those doing comparative work like Radmard and Kazazi, Jamshidi and Mohammadian, plus translators like Anwar Sultani for Guarani poetry, researchers like Yusupova studying the language. It takes a village to study a tradition like this.
Really does. What about translations of the Kurdish Shahnameh itself? Into English, for example.
That seems limited, based on the research. Lots of scholarly analysis about it, summaries in English, German, French. But full, direct translations of the core epic texts. Not like the many available for Ferdowsi's Shahnameh.
So mostly academic studies are accessible?
Primarily, yes. It highlights a gap, perhaps, in making the narrative themselves more widely available.
Okay, finally, what are the big scholarly conversations still happening? the main debates.
Well, one huge one is that level of independence from Ferdowsi. How much is adaptation? How much is truly parallel or older?
Right, that core relationship question. What else?
Authenticity and variation in the oral versions. How much do they change? How do we analyze that? Also, the linguistic status and even the naming Guarani versus Harami that's still discussed.
Yeah, and the Ali Hakyarsan influence.
Yes, the extent and nature of that connection is another key area. Plus, those comparisons with other world epics continue to offer insights. It's a living field of study. Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
So let's try and wrap this up. The Kurdish Shahnameh, it's clearly a significant, distinct epic tradition, primarily in Guarani. Primarily oral, transmitted by the amazing Dengbej.
Absolutely. It shares roots with the Persian Shahnameh, yes, but it has its own unique linguistic features, its own meter, its own narrative variations, even characters.
And its history is tied up with the Ardalan dynasty's patronage and the sacred status of Guarani for the Ali Haq community.
Right. And despite some later documentation, figures like Amas Khan writing parts down, it fundamentally remained an oral tradition for centuries.
Which made it incredibly important for preserving Kurdish cultural identity, memory, especially when facing tough times. And scholars are still digging into it all.
It's a powerful example of oral tradition's resilience and its role in cultural survival. The way it carried memory and identity is just, wow, it's remarkable.
We really hope this exploration has given everyone a richer sense of the Kurdish Shahnameh. It's such a testament to the power of oral storytelling.
If folks want to learn more, looking into Beru's Chaman Ara's work or just researching the Dengbej tradition itself would be great starting points.
Okay, here's a final thought for everyone listening. Given that strong oral nature of the Kurdish Shahnameh, how it adapted and changed over time, how do you think the lack of one single fixed written version might have both, well, strengthened and maybe challenged its role in keeping a cohesive cultural identity across different Kurdish communities over the centuries? Something to ponder. Kurdish Research Audio Archive.